Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening as we are back to talk about a very serious issue that I find that's happening in the church today. We've been dealing with some heavy stuff, and I want to continue in this vein. I'm happy that I have two wonderful men of God, my brother and pal, Apostle Hurricane Calhoun, is with us tonight again, and Apostle Pleasant is again with us tonight, and we are super excited to have you guys back tonight. Apostle Calhoun, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you. And Apostle Pleasant, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing this evening?
Great.
Doing great, 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 great.
Great, great.
I am most excited, and I want to jump right into it so that we can use every little moment that we have tonight to talk about the church and the fact that the church is a place that should be a pillar for our communities and, you know, different things like that. But I find that there are so many individuals that join the church for several different reasons. And so tonight we want to talk about the fact that I've joined the church, but I don't submit or don't want to submit to leadership. And we really want to break down tonight the reason that people should, or why should I even look for a church home or a place that is going to feed me. Apostle Pleasant, jump right in. What should I be looking for when I'm looking for a place or a church home?
Well, the first thing you need to look for, and I tell this to our people, is a few things indicate that you're going to have, excuse me, a successful church, and you ought to be looking for. The first thing is the presence of the Lord there.
Right.
If you have a church where God is there and He's moving and His Spirit is moving, and it's you're pretty much in the place where you should be. The second thing is the word going forth. If the word is good and it's edifying you and you're learning and it's helping you to understand, those two things together are really, really wonderful. Mm-hmm. The third thing is the administration good? Mm-hmm. Does that church meet the needs of its people, or is it even mm-hmm. good? Is it trying to? And the fourth thing, I'm probably out of order with it, but worship. Those four things probably, if you have those things in your church going forth, you'll probably have a successful church, and you'll be a church that I recommend a believer going to, or someone who is trying to find their way in this thing called Christianity.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Go ahead.
to get to the question at hand tonight, you said I've joined the church, that I have not submitted to leadership.
Right.
And I think the issue, if we can address that, the issue is motives. One word that can be summed up in that is it's motives. What is the reason that you are trying to go to church? And it's like you said, many people have many different ideas or why or reasons why they go to church. Some,
right.
You know, I'm going to look for my wife. I'm going to look for my husband. You know, and there's others with more selfish motives of I'm going to see if I can get this position and do this and do that. And so what it really comes down to is what are your motives? Because if you're not really
right.
searching for Jesus, if you're really not looking for how to live this thing called Christianity in a successful way, then you're going with the wrong intentions, the wrong motives. And so what you see is a lot of churches who are suffering from people who have not submitted. And they've not submitted to leadership, let alone submitted to God. Because anytime you try to run your church and you ain't no leader and you're not the pastor or the apostle or whoever it is that God has appointed, then you're out of line and out of order.
Right.
I think one of the issues, and I don't want to stay on too long because I want Apostle Calhoun to chime in.
Yes.
I think one of the issues that we have in the church today is that church is done from a democracy and not a theocracy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got too many boards and too many things trying to run the church instead of God and giving his word to his appointed servant of the house. And then everybody, the elders and everyone else praying and looking for confirmation. And anytime you have a democracy in an environment that is supposed to be a theocracy, you're going to have conflict and confusion. And so I'm going to pass the mic and let my man, Apostle Calhoun, chime on in. I don't want to take too much time.
I hear you. Apostle Calhoun, what do you have to say over there, you know, with this democracy and this? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
My phone was going in and out. I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said, what do you have to say about this democracy and this, you know, this thing that's happening in the church where I'm joining the church. I'm coming to you, Apostle Calhoun, saying, hey, I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of what you're doing, and I'm excited about it. But really, when it all boils down, I'm not submitted to leadership.
Hey, man, just to kind of piggyback on some excellent wisdom that Apostle Pleasant was giving out, just to piggyback out
yeah.
on that, that's the first thing that ran through my mind, and he said it out of his mouth, what are your motives?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have motives why they do certain things. He's, like he said before, you know, some people are selfish. Some people, I'm just going because I'm not being used at my church, so I'm gonna go over here where I think I can be used. And
okay.
or you got some people that say, well, hey, you know, I'm looking for my husband, or I'm looking for my wife, or oh man, y'all got an awesome choir, or y'all got awesome youth ministry, or y'all got this going on. Y'all are always feeding the hungry and giving away free clothes and stuff like this and that nature. Then, you know, sometimes I believe that people don't want to submit. They join the ministry. Another reason why I feel like people join the churches is not out of culture.
Okay.
Just to say that I belong to a church.
Okay.
Some people join churches because they don't know what else to do because they were raised in the church. You know, so I'm joining the church because this is what I've seen my forefathers or my grandmother do, or my aunt. So I really don't have a relationship with God for myself. I'm just doing this out of ritual.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then on the other side, I look at this side too, because some people don't want to submit because submission calls change.
Sure. Sure.
People don't want to submit to leadership or submit because I don't want to change. I just want to join the church. I don't want to do all that extra stuff. You know, I don't want to be delivered. I don't want to be free. I still want to come to church on Sunday and still go to the club on Saturday. I still want to smoke my weed. I still want to shack. I still want to fornicate. I still want to do all these other things. I want to cuss and do all this other stuff, but I don't want to submit because submission causes me not to only submit to the man and women of God, but to submit to the God in them. Then on the other side, I got to look at both sides too. Sometimes people, they join the church but don't submit because they have nothing to submit to. Some leaders, we don't give the people something to submit to, something to look up to. They're like, you know, well, you know, why should I submit when you're not doing any better than I am?
Right.
This also at the same time, sometimes it's hard for people to submit to people who are not submissive themselves.
Oh, wow.
It's hard for me to submit when I don't see you submit. What are you submitting to? Why should I submit to God or submit to you as leadership over me or headship over my life when I don't even see you submit to a higher leader or see you submit to God also as well? So there's many different reasons why I believe that people join the church but did not or don't want to or don't understand how to submit to leadership.
Right, right. Something that you said that really stuck out to me was that submission calls for change. And something that I've experienced in ministry is realizing that people are afraid of change. They're afraid of, you know, look, I've been living like this all my life, you know, so they're afraid of change. They're afraid of the unknown. Apostle President, how do you deal with the fact that you do have people coming in to the ministry who they don't even know how to submit? They don't know because, you know, the last ministry I was a part of, there was not a thing called submission. I just kind of went to church and went home. It wasn't challenging to me. It was not a word that challenged my thinking. It wasn't a word that challenged my life. I kind of did what I wanted to do. So when I step over into this church that where Apostle Pleasant is the pastor, this awesome word is coming forth, and it's starting to walk down my road.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with that? How do I submit?
Well, I think with Apostle Calhoun, there's something that he said that we can really examine. He said that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't know how to submit, and I believe you echoed it too.
Right.
And you know, I'm a believer in getting to the root cause of things, and so we'll look at the root cause of it. The submission starts at home, and it starts under the authority of your parents. It starts. Now I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 46 years old. So I had a mother who was my authority. But
okay.
At the same time, I grew up in a family where my aunts and my uncles, we all lived on the same block, and my grandmother lived in another house. And so even though everybody lived in their own houses, my grandmother was still the authority. It was still a headship. And whatever she said, regardless of what was going on in anybody else's house, it kind of went. And so there was a submission that I understood growing up to authority that we don't see today. And it's an attribute that has not been learned. And so when you have people coming into the church with unsubmitted mindsets is because they have not seen it. And so they don't know how to respond to it when they see it and it's asked of them. And so it has to be trained, it has to be taught, and all the ideas. And I use this often, and I talk about when I first came to Christ, I had to throw everything that I learned before I came to him out, because it didn't mean no good from the time that I accepted him on. And I think that's what has to happen. You have to be in the mindset first to be looking for Jesus, looking for a way out. And the way out is the way in. Yeah. So you have to be in a mindset where I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm ready for change. And until that takes place, I don't know if you can be, if you can submit in totality. And there's some areas of, you said it, about change. Anytime you're confronted with change, it challenges you. Change should always challenge you. And so if you're not, if you're coming to it, if you're going to church and you're not being challenged, I don't know if that's the place you want to be.
That's right.
I'll stop right here.
And we have a lot of individuals that feel like the church is too personal, or the church should not challenge me in those areas, or that's not what the church should be. And that's one of the things that, you know, I totally agree with you on, that people really don't know how to respond to the authentic word of God, because we have for so long sugarcoated. We for so long, you know, said that this is okay, that's okay, God understands your heart, you know, all of these type things, that now, you know, when there's a nation being raised up that will obey and will speak it like God says, speak it. Now we are being accused of being too personal, or we're being accused of, you know, that's not what we should be doing as pastors and leaders. Apostle Calhoun, what do you feel in your spirit concerning this issue of submission that we are not seeing in the church, and how, you know, are we as the apostolic fathers of this hour, how are we going to come back into a place of restoration of the body of Christ, or bringing this thing back together like it is supposed to be?
Well, sometimes, and I want to say this, sometimes people confuse submission with control.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to tell me, you know, how and what tainted that is, that we do have leaders who do that.
Sure. Right.
Who do that? You know, no, you can't do. You're trying to control my house. You're trying to tell me what I can and can't eat. You're trying to do this, that, do that. And so now it has trickled out to where people say, you know what? I just rather just go to church and not deal with all the other stuff, because I don't want to feel like I'm being controlled. And so now we have to get to the place to deal with that, because now we're dealing with people who are coming from other ministries who have faced that from where they came from. And so now we're stuck with having to deal with the issue and not understanding at first why they have a trouble with submitting, not understanding, like Apostle Pleasant said, getting to the root of the issue. And so some of us have become so prophetically and apostolically lazy to where we say, well, we just won't deal with the issue. We just going to let them keep on coming because they're paying their tithes.
Right.
We're going to let them keep on doing this because they have a gift. They know how to do this. You know how to play the organ. She knows how to sing. So instead of dealing with the issue and getting them free from that mindset, because like Apostle Pedro said, in order for you to have complete submission, you must have a free mind. And I'm going to say this to those that are listening. When you have a leader that is concerned about you or concerned about your well-being, it is not control. He's trying to make sure that you go down the right path and make sure that you have wisdom in your life to make sure that you make the right decision. And so that's why it's good to have a wise leader. Now, let me go ahead and say that to those that are listening, because we have some on the mind that's listening that are like that. that say, well, you know what, I'm not going to submit to no man. I put my pants leg on just like he put his pants on, or I put my dress on like she puts her dress on. And so we have to get to the place where submission is not control, but submitting to the man or woman of God or leadership is saying that I'm trusting in what you're saying because you're the voice of God in my life.
Right.
Okay. All right. And so okay, now
so
I'm
sorry to interrupt, but I need you to give or tell us the difference between submission and then control. Because the Bible says control is witchcraft. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Control
mm-hmm.
equals witchcraft. So what is the difference between submitting and then being controlled? Because I don't want to be the puppet on the end of your string.
Mm-hmm. Control is where me as a follower and you be the leader. Let's just use me and you for example, Bishop. If I was one of the sheep in your ministry, or one of the leaders in your ministry, control would be I can't think unless you do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make a move. Every 5 minutes I'm calling you, Bishop, what do you think? Apostle, what do you think? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do that? Versus submission is saying that, okay, I'm submitted to my leadership, and so I know how my leader thinks because I know my own leader has wise counsel. So there's a difference
right.
in control, like you said, control is witchcraft. And so, every time I get ready to make a move or a business decision, you know, no, don't do that. Sit down. Come here. Or when you do it, now, this is how I want you to do it. I want you to do it like this. I want you to do it like this. I want you to do it like that. Versus me saying, did you pray about it? What did God say? And versus,
right.
you know, me controlling you and everything that you do, your house, because some people don't even make a move in their own houses unless their leaders say so.
Right.
Versus,
wow.
you know, some people say, you know, you have some leaders that say, you know, give me all your tithes money or give me this or give me that or no, you can't do this or no, you can't do that versus being a, like, go back to Apostle Pleasant said, a dictator
right.
versus a spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because control says that I'm in fear of my leader versus respect of my leader.
Sure.
Right.
Wow.
When I submit, that means I'm not afraid of you, but I trust you.
Right.
Right.
Control is when you come, I start shaking and everything I do, and I get nervous.
Yeah.
The people should never get nervous when you come around.
That's right.
This is right.
They should not be in fear when you come around. And so out of that, when they do break away from a ministry that's like that and they go somewhere else, that's why we move into now what we call false humility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're thinking that if you don't control me, then I'm not submissive enough.
Wow.
And so, and to go into what I was getting ready to say just a minute ago about we as leaders, we have to get back. Sometimes we have to get away from, and I know that we, as African-American preachers and pastors, we do this. We're very enthusiastic in our preaching. You know, we scream, we yell, we hoot, you know, and nothing wrong with that because we're passionate about what we're saying, about what we're preaching. But sometimes to break that spirit and to break that atmosphere over the minds of the people, we have to get back to just solid teaching.
Sure. That's right.
That's where new membership classes come in.
That's right.
We got to get back to stuff like that. New membership classes where we get back to the foundation of what we do here. And that will eventually move the people saying, you know what? I could submit to something like this.
There you go. That's it right there.
I can submit. They began to fall in love with the leader, the leaders, the people of
right.
the church, and eventually, watch this, it draws them to love Christ the same way.
That's right.
This is right.
Because they have to first see it in us. So really, they're not really submitting to us as leaders, as men. They're submitting to the God in us.
That's right.
And so we won't put the people in a position to be like Ananias and Sapphira and lie to the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they'll recognize the God in us and the Christ in us, and it'll put them in a position where you say, you know what, I could submit to something like this. I could submit to a ministry. I could submit to leadership For one, I feel loved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, two, I'm getting a good word. It's challenging me. It's uncomfortable, but for some reason, I don't want to leave because it's making me a better person.
Right.
That's right.
So right. Whenever you go to a minister and you don't feel comfortable and you feel manipulated or you feel like I have to do this, instead of it becoming a reasonable service,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable service, it becomes a duty, it becomes a task. And so that's why some people don't want to submit, because they feel like it becomes now a duty, it becomes a task now. And I'm a hush, right. I don't want to take up too much time, but that's the difference of what the question you just asked me and going into the other part.
Right, right. Apostle Pleasant, something that he said, really, I was writing as he was talking, and something that I heard in what he was saying without him saying it in so many words is that as leaders, we have to sometimes understand that we're dealing with damaged goods. That people come into the house of God and you don't know what they went through in the last ministry, or you don't know what they are coming from, even if they were not a part of a ministry. Because as you all were talking, it made me think about the woman who's been in an abusive relationship and who's mm-hmm. been controlled by a man for X amount of years. And when she comes out of that relationship, she does not feel the next relationship, he's not beating her, he's not slapping her, he's not cursing her or calling her out of her name. And so she does not feel love because she's not getting that type of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it made me think about the church, where I've come from another ministry where I was abused and where, you know, I was just there being used because of what God has placed in me. And now I come to Apostle Pleasant's church, and all he wants to do is teach me and love me. And, you know, I don't even know how to receive that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So you have people in the church who, just like the abused woman, she acts out of her emotions. Or she acts out of, wait a minute, you're not giving me what I'm used to, so you must not love me.
Mm-hmm.
As a leader, how do you deal with that?
Well, I last time we talked, I told you I stopped looking for healthy people coming in the door.
That's right.
You know, now my job is to find out where you're hurt at, where you're broken
right.
at. And so
right.
Without demeaning any people like that, but I call that being damaged goods. And now you notice at the end it's still good, but it's damaged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what you have to do is reverse it to be good goods, you know. And so I think the thing is that you have to deal with, again, the root cause. And I'm sure some of our listeners, maybe even us, have been in relationships where previous relationships to being married or whatever, where we've dealt with, or we either have been damaged goods ourselves. I'm sure we've been damaged in some area that we can remember. And when you're dealing with a person who has been hurt or damaged, what you have to understand is that they take on the mindset of their abuser.
Ah, right. My God. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so what happens is if the abuser was a manipulator, then you're dealing with a person with a manipulative mindset. And
right.
so you have to address it accordingly to that mindset. Every good apostle, every good pastor, every good preacher, or whoever leader understands his people, his sheep. And
right.
I think Apostle Calhoun said it last time we were together. He's able to identify who he can handle with, who he has to handle with kid gloves, and those he can talk to a little bit harder. Well, it's the same with you and I. We have to understand, you know, through the power of the Holy Ghost, through discernment, just what we're dealing with when we, when these people, when they come to us in their, quote, damaged good mindset. And so we have to assert love. We have to show them love. We have to be gentle with them and let them know that though you have been in a dysfunctional relationship, though you've been in a dysfunctional area or point in your life, we're trying to move you out of that dysfunction into what is functional. And this is what functional looks like. This is what a healthy church looks like. This is what a healthy relationship looks like. And I remember one time, what I have our people do at the end of service is everybody comes to the front of the church, and we hold hands, and we look at each other, and we tell each other we love each other. And then I have them smile at each other, because it's necessary, because I don't know if we do that anymore at church. And so what it does is it breaks a lot of trust issues off of people. But I can remember one time when I had a young man who, when we came to the front of the church, he ran out of the church and went outside and started crying. And I couldn't for the world of me figure out why, but he wasn't used to it. He wasn't used to being loved on. And so those are the types of things that, you know, we deal with as apostles, as pastors, as leaders in the church. And we've got to be able to break down those mindsets that have been adopted, received, and embraced as love, quote, from folk who really didn't know how to love.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I'm finding more and more in ministry that we are coming across people who, like you said, that the first place that you learn submission is at home, in your childhood, growing up. And I am learning in ministry that, you know, you touched on, you know, not even knowing how to receive love. That very thing I experienced in church on this past Sunday. We have young men who, you know, should be being raised to lead their family to worship, but they don't even know how to receive love because their fathers did not love them, and their fathers did not love them. And so when they come to the house of God and they see other young men with their hands raised crying out to God, they're looking at them like, what are you doing? You know?
Exactly.
But they don't understand the submission to God and the love that causes you to be in that state, or that submission state unto him. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we as men and women of God have got to, you know, be able to recognize, as you stated, to recognize that we have to be able to recognize this stuff and to help people to develop in these areas, because it is important. You cannot really experience God when you don't know how to submit.
Sure.
Right.
It's terrifying to those who have not had a functional experience of love. Most of us come across folk who and who hand us down their version of love.
Right.
And their version of love is most of the time dysfunctional. It's raggedy,
right.
It's tore up. And because we can't tell the difference of what functional love looks like, because we've not been in the presence of it, we assume that love is what this person has given me.
Right.
And it just, it thwarts our understanding of what genuine love is. And so when we receive it, it looks foreign to us. When we get to the company of what real functional love looks like, it looks foreign to us and it terrifies us. And this is in response to what you said, the young men that come in and they can't, you know, grasp because they've been taught by society that this is soft.
Yeah. Right.
And if I make myself vulnerable, then I'm soft.
Yeah.
If I lift my hands and I worship God, and folk are going to look at me and they're going to think I'm soft.
Right.
Can I tell you, can I testify just a minute and I'll pass the mic back? I was a gang leader, a drug dealer, connected to Colombians. I've been shot, I've been stabbed. I was a ruckus causer in my city. And my name was well known. But can I tell you, when I came to Jesus, he broke all that stuff off of me.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know if there's any listeners out there that need a testimony, but I tell you, there's nobody like Jesus, and
right.
He will show you. You'll find what real love is. And, okay, right. I'm done. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
This is what it's all about. This is what they need to. What people need to hear. You know, because
right.
This it's like, you know, we're living in a time now where, as you stated, there is the very first foundational place in the home. The real love is missing. The being taught how to submit to grandmama and mama and daddy and, you know, all of that is missing. And then when we come to the house of God, we expect for it to just happen, but it doesn't. It's a learned behavior, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right. This
is something that we need to hear, because just like the ear hearing sound doctrine is a learned behavior, that's not something we come out of our mama's womb wanting to do, you know.
Right.
It's a learned behavior. And so, you know, we have to learn how to love properly. We have to learn how to submit
mm-hmm.
under the mighty hand of God. If God placed you under Apostle Pleasant, you got to learn how to be able to hear the God in him when he says, look, that's not a good idea. I know you don't
right.
like it,
right.
but that's not a good idea. You got to hear the God in him and not say, oh, he's trying to control my life.
Right, right. Because it's not to a place, like you said, they have to hear the love in the voice. And what messes us up sometimes as people, and piggybacking on what Apostle Pleasant said earlier about dysfunctional love, sometimes we can love people how we want to love people, and it messes them up because we're not discerning their need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't really love. I can love you the best way I can, but I need to discern in the spirit to find out what it's going to take to get you to a certain place. Because how I love my kids, I can't love my kids all the same. All of them
right.
need that something different.
Sure.
So I have to figure out what makes you tick, what makes you smile, what makes you happy, what makes you, when you're angry, calms you down.
Yeah.
What makes you, what push you, what can I say? Because every true leader who knows their sheep, when their sheep is in trouble, they know what to say to trigger a sound to release out of their mouths,
sure.
to bring them back to where they need to be, to bring them back to a place of God is in control, Jesus got you, he loves you, and so do I. And so sometimes we can love people because, you know, you got some people say, well, you know, and then you got some people that know how they want to be loved, but yet still we choose to still want to love them how we want to love. And so that's when we move over into the manipulation, because let me love you how I want to love you versus I don't want to love you how you want to be loved, because if I love you how you want to be loved, then that means you're going to be free. So that means I can't have control over you, over your life, and the things you do. And
wow.
Also, to go back to the damaged goods, it brings me to how I used to watch my grandmother, and the generations, how the generations are different. And I'm gonna use women in this scenario. I watched my grandmother go to the refrigerator. You got two different women. You got a grandmother, and you have a young woman of this generation. A young woman of this generation will go to the refrigerator, open up the refrigerator, pull out a bottle of milk, smell it, taste it. If it don't smell right or taste right, she throws it in the trash.
Right.
But somebody who's seasoned, who knows and understands what to do with it, would take it, smell it, taste it. If there's something wrong with it, she'll still find use for it.
Yeah.
My grandmother, she would make buttermilk.
Buttermilk, I was going to say that.
She would say, don't throw that milk away, boy. I'm like, well, grandmama, it don't smell good. It don't taste good. She said, come here, baby, let me show you what to do with damaged goods.
Right.
And before I knew it, when dinner time came around, we had cornbread. So she took something that was messed up, something that didn't smell right, something that didn't taste right, something that other people would, the marketplace would pull it off of the shelf and send it back, throw it away and pour it out and do away with it because to the world it's no good. But Jesus finds value in everything.
That's right.
And so that's how we have to get to the place as leaders to deal with people who don't want to submit. We have to let them know that there is good in them, let them know that Jesus Christ does love them, and that when they see that, it'll bring them to the place to say, you know what, I know who I am in Christ, and I know where I have a place at in this ministry. Because too many times, you know, what gives other people hang-ups off as well is because people join churches who got a lot of stuff going on.
Right,
you know, they got three services, you know, or they got this going on. They got they do this every Saturday, or they do this every. But they got all that fruit. Watch this. There's no glory.
Wow.
And to reiterate back to what Apostle Pleasant said earlier, that in order for them to submit, it has to be a ministry that first they see the presence of God. They see the glory of God resident over the house. When they come in, there has to be a good, solid teaching word. There has to be love. Because you can have all this stuff going on, but if you don't have love, then you don't have nothing at all. So to deal with these people in their mindsets and to free them, we have to have the love of Christ and let them know that where you came from or where you've been or if you haven't, like you, Apostle Pleasant said, going back to the root of the problem, they don't see it in home. They didn't see mama, the young daughter didn't see mama submit to daddy. They didn't see daddy submit to God.
Right.
So they come from already dysfunction because it's already out of order because mama fussing too much. Daddy, he ain't hardly ever at home. And so mama has left to do, so they're confused.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it spills over from the home into their worship.
Wow.
So when they worship, they don't worship wholeheartedly, but they worship out of emotions versus I'm worshiping because this is what I was created to do.
Right.
So a lot of times we have people submitting. We think they're submitting and they're worshiping and they're praising and they're surrendering to God, but actuality is nothing but a therapy session. Because they get up off the ground, they get up off the floor after getting hands laid on, they got done crying and slobbing all over the place, then watch this, they go back to their regular lifestyle.
Sure.
Right. Because in their mind, they have submitted. In their mind, they did something. In their mind, and not knowing, we as leaders, like I said earlier, we get apostolic and prophetically lazy because we don't really want to recognize what the real issue is and to grab that person and say, listen, I see something that's hindering you from really receiving the love of Christ.
Right.
Yeah, I see you worship. Yeah, I see you lift your hands, but something else is wrong.
Right.
What is the issue? What's the problem? Sometimes it just takes simple communication.
That's right.
Simple communication. What's wrong? What's going on? And so it doesn't, and sometimes they might not talk to you right off the bat, but that's why you have to be consistent.
That's right.
That's another thing that gets people to submit to ministry, consistency. If they don't see consistency, then if the leadership is, as Bishop Howell says, fickle, if the leadership is fickle, then it's going to birth fickle people.
This is right. This is right. Come on, Apostle.
It's like Apostle Calhoun said, you know, submission is earned.
Yeah.
It's after I've proven myself to you. I've proven myself to be reliable. I've proven myself to be consistent. I've proven myself to be a leader that knows what he's doing and a leader that is submitted to God.
Right.
That's when you'll see the breakdown of walls and barriers that people come in, and they begin to say, "Okay, this person, this man or woman of God, I can trust him." And then from that point on, our job as a leader is not to abuse that trust.
Right.
Our sole job, other than leading them to salvation and teaching them about God, is to not abuse their trust. And so that we can produce more leaders. Every leader produces more leaders. He does not produce followers. He produces leaders. And so that's what we want to do. We want to keep producing, being fruitful, multiplying. And that's the job of every leader, is not to, and this gets back to the control aspect, not to hold your people down. You are to birth leaders. You are to birth children, sons and daughters in the ministry to go forth and birth other ministries, because if not, what you end up having is a church that relies solely on you. And after you die, then you have a church without any leaders.
Right.
And so we have to be very careful, very, very careful in how we lead people, how we train them. I tell our people this, and everybody that is in the position, you ought to be training somebody you ought to be working yourself out of a job.
Right.
You ought to be training somebody to come up after you.
Right.
And it's not about you. It's not your position. The pulpit is not mine. It's an office that I hold right now. I'm always looking for somebody to come after me, a successor to replace me. Because I know one of these days I'm going to be over in glory.
That's right.
So, and that's the thing. We have to submit and surrender as well as leaders to the idea of the fact that we're going to be replaced one day.
That's right.
Submission is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm finding that in the black church. And I'm just going to put it out there. In the black church, more so, we find that leaders are dealing with their own little issues on the inside. And so we do not teach, or we do not train, or we do not push individuals. My belief is that if you're a son or a daughter in the house that God has, you know, placed me over, then I should push you further, or push you to do better, or to accomplish more than what I have accomplished as your leader.
Sure.
That is my belief, that I want you to be better than I was. And I'm finding that in the black church, we, a lot of different things that the church is experiencing, I find that it is in the headship of the church. And this is why people are not in a place of submission. You said something that was powerful, and that is, don't abuse the trust of the people.
Right.
And I want to talk about that, because not just, and it happened recently, and I'm going to talk about it because I can, but not just in local churches around Pensacola area, but I'm reading all over the world where pastors, leaders, elders are using positions to do things that have nothing to do with God.
Right.
One article I read, a pastor told the people, if you want to get married, you got to, the young ladies, you're going to have to put on a bathing suit, you're going to have your rear end out, you're going to get on all four and meet me at the beach and allow me to kiss your butt.
What?
These are the type things, yes, these are the type things that pastors and leaders are doing.
Yes.
You know, I trust you as my leader. You know what I'm saying? I trust the word that's coming out of your mouth. And then these are the type of things that leaders do, which causes for that trust to be abused. Okay?
Right.
So I'm saying this tonight because I want the leaders that are listening tonight to understand that you need to be careful as to what you are doing and saying that God told you to do, or that the Spirit of the Lord told me to say this to you. You need to be careful because you can be in that place of abusing the trust of the people.
Sure.
What were you getting ready to say, Apostle, before I broke?
Well, I can't. You just blew my mind with that whole thing. But I mean, I do understand the issue that we can abuse our authority.
Yeah.
And I think the Apostle Paul made it clear in Corinthians. He said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
And so the connotation behind that is that you have to know what following Christ looks like.
That's right.
As a follower of Christ, not a follower of the leader, but a follower of the
right.
a follower of Christ. So any time that if the leader is stepping out of line and he's not following Christ in such a way, as you said, meet me on the beach so I can kiss you, that's just ridiculous. Anyone who would follow that leader obviously does not know what the back of Christ looks like because they've not followed him.
That's good. Right. That's good.
And so going back to another thing that you said, one of the getting to the abuse of the leader is because in black churches, a lot of times our identity is associated with the pulpit. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go on, preacher.
and we found our identity. And to step outside or away from that identity, we don't know who we are.
Right.
And so that's what makes it hard to release. But when your identity is in Christ, it's not hard for you to step away from the pulpit because you know that there's a transition. What I found out about older season, I'll say seasoned preachers, it's hard for them to retire because they've attached their identity to the pulpit. And what you and I have to understand as we gracefully grow older is that there comes a time when we transition. And we got to know how to transition, because if we don't know how to transition, the church will go stale on you.
That's right.
Our season is up, and God has a Joshua to replace us, but yet we're still trying to be in a spot of authority because our identity is attached to it.
Right.
And this is what you see a lot of times. You see a lot of churches that a lot of pastors will take a church down because they don't know how to transition.
Right.
Because their identity is attached to the pulpit.
Wow.
That's why I think we as leaders have to be careful in those both of those areas, because manipulating people, oh my goodness, that's crazy. And
right.
And I encourage the listeners, any people who study the word. Study the word,
right.
and see what the word says, so that you can test it against. If your pastor or your apostle is not saying something correct, follow Christ. Don't meet him on the beach. I'm gonna put it that way. Don't meet him, whoever that was. Don't meet him on the beach.
That's
right. That's some nonsense.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. Come on, Papa Calhoun. I know it's overflowing.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just taking it all in, man. Of God, just oh man, this is a good topic tonight.
It really is, and we really have to understand that in this season, I'm glad that you brought that up, Apostle Pleasant, that there is a time that you have to transition, and my
sure.
belief is that the time to transition is not the time, that's not when you're laid out in the front of the church for everybody to view. I believe that your
right.
time to transition is before you're laid out for everybody to view. You should transition while you are still here to help the transition be easier.
Sure.
But you have to know who you are, as you stated before, to be able to do that.
Admitted.
Right.
So we're going to pause here, and I'm enjoying, you know, we have not even taken a break. We got about 33 minutes left, and we have been nonstop. I have enjoyed this tonight. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Stay right where you are, and we will be right back in just a few moments.
Hold. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you.
You take the pain away.
for being with us tonight and for staying right where you are. That was Tasha Cobb. If you want to go get it, Everything About You Is Right, Tasha Cobb. But we've been here for a little while now talking about this topic of joining a church but not being submitted. And I want to get this out before we leave the air tonight. Apostle Pleasant, what are some of the benefits of being submitted to God as well as being submitted to your leadership at your church?
What are some of the benefits? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you too well.
What are some of the benefits of being submitted? There obviously must be some benefits of being submitted. And what are those benefits that, you know, when I am submitted to leadership, I am submitted to God, what are the benefits?
First thing is that your leader is supposed to be able to see into your life before you are able to see into your life. And when you are submitted to a leader who is submitted to God, he's able to pour into your life and recognize some of the qualities that you have for your purpose. You
okay.
will never find your purpose until you are submitted.
Mm.
You see, a lot of people in church, and they've been in church all their lives, and they do the same old thing every Sunday, every Wednesday night. And they come to church and they sit in the pews.
Right.
They're not submitted. They're going to buck against the preacher. They're going to buck against everything the pastor says, and they're not submitted.
Right.
And they have not discovered their purpose because of it. There was something that God told, and I'm not telling the parents so to do this. But God told the Israelites. He said.
Right.
Every time, for every child that will not obey you, take them out and stone them. And I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying, the reason why the reason why God said do that, because he understood if they would not follow the parents, how are they going to submit to him?
Right.
So what you have to understand is that there's 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old folks sitting in church today in spiritual diapers because they have not submitted.
Mm.
They have no understanding of their purpose, nor do they care to find it. They feel that their ministry is to buck against the pastor.
Right. Wow.
And so submission, it connects me to my purpose. Submission lines me up so God can tell me what my purpose is.
Amen. Amen. And so this is why it is so important for us to be in a submitted place. Now, really, y'all, we got to talk about this before we go because, you know, as you stated, there are several people in churches in spiritual diapers because they still have not found their purpose. They're still, you know, kind of just there, you know. And my thing is that when there is no submission, it says to me that there is no trust. If there is no trust, then why are you still a member of this church?
Mm-hmm.
Do I make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We even in our relationship, there has to be some type of trust. If there is no trust, then why are we still together?
Mm-hmm.
So am I hindering myself when I am a part of a church, but I'm not submitted and I don't trust the leader? You know, there's no way that you can really trust your leader if you can't submit. So am I hindering myself? Am I hindering other people in the church? What kind of effect am I having when I am a part of this ministry where I'm not submitted and I don't trust the headship of the house?
Mm-hmm. You're asking me or you're asking Apostle Calhoun?
Either one, it doesn't matter.
Apostle Calhoun?
Apostle Calhoun, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said Apostle Pleasant, go ahead and I'll come behind you. I was just talking to you,
okay.
So I had my phone on mute. I had my phone on mute. I'm sorry, y'all.
No problem. What you have to understand is I think what the listeners need to understand is that a pastor or apostle in a congregation, the relationship is that of a marriage. And so the two are married together. And in the same way that as a husband and wife are married together, that if there is no trust in a relationship of a husband and wife, then there's something broken.
Right.
There's something that needs repaired. Whether we need to go to counseling or whether we need to pray about it or whatever, but we have to identify what's broken and then position ourselves to be healed or, you know, talk about it, work it out. And
right.
So, but if you don't trust your leader and this has been going on for some time, then I don't know why you've not addressed it or you've not sought counsel about it.
Right.
I think that because if you're there just to kick against the prick, so to speak, or and you don't trust him, I think you're wasting everybody's time. Because eventually, sooner or later, your emotions or your feelings are going to pour out into somebody else, and you're going to disrupt what's going on. And
Amen.
So I personally had to ask somebody to leave our church because I didn't like what they were doing. I tried to love them and tried to be there for them, but they were a type of person that where others were graduating from, say, basic training,
mm-hmm.
they were ridiculing them for what they did. And so, you know, I spoke to the person about it, and they continued to do this thing. And so I said, maybe we're not the church for you.
Right.
And this person has gone from church to church causing ruckus. And so, you know, you just have to, me as a leader, I'm not going to stand there and let you tear up the house that God is trying to put together.
Amen.
And I think I said it last week, you know, we as shepherds, we got to chase wolves away from the flock. And so, it's wasting time.
And that's good that you brought that up, how you went to that person and said, maybe we're not the place for you, because sometimes, and I'm thinking about it, and this is just how I think, you know, not saying that this is a fact or anything of that nature, but sometimes because a person is in the wrong place, doesn't necessarily mean that something's wrong with the leadership, something wrong with the church, something wrong with the person. But sometimes because we are in the wrong places at the wrong time and season in our lives, sometimes it makes things burst up.
Sure.
Trust, like why I don't trust, I don't know why I don't trust the leader. I don't know why, you know, and sometimes it's, well, maybe this is not the house for you because you was here too long in a place where you wasn't supposed to be. It started just things that it gave the enemy room to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To burst things up. And as you said, because you stayed too long and then the question is, if that's not the case, like I said, that's just my thought process. If that's not the case, then if you don't trust me as a leader, then question is, why are you still here? What is it
right.
that you're looking for?
Sure.
What is it that you're trying to cause to happen? Because,
right,
like Apostle Pedro brought up, sooner or later, two things are going to happen. Either we're going to talk about this thing and discuss this thing and nip it in the bud, or your personal emotions of how you feel about me, you're going to start, either it's going to start showing,
mm-hmm,
or you're going to get to the place to where you're going to start conjuring up things to say to cause the ministry to be in uproar.
Right.
And you know, you'll start conjuring up things. You'll start saying things and doing a little different stuff, whispering spirit, because whispering is a witchcraft. So you begin to whisper. The spirit begins to whisper and say little different things here and there and this, that, and other. And then also out of your emotions, you know, burst things, you know, as you were saying earlier, your emotions. And so it'll bring the people to question, why does this particular person doesn't like our pastor?
Right.
So either two things are going to happen. Either it's going to draw the people against the leadership, or it's going to draw the people against that person. Either way, it's not healthy.
True.
That's right. That's right.
I think that
leaders, it's our responsibility to make sure that we are, as Apostle said earlier, that we are chasing wolves out of the house.
That's
that
right.
We are not, and this is why I tell people often that we have to lead because of what God says and not because of what we feel.
Right.
We have to make sure that we are hearing the Spirit of God, because these are his people. These are not our people. So we have to hear the Spirit of God. And this may not be the place for you. This may not be an apostle. I can only imagine how uncomfortable it was for you to have to say, maybe this is not the place for you to be. Because I, too, was in a situation not too long ago where I had to dismiss somebody as well. And it did not feel good to have to do that, because at the end of the day, I do love them. But then I also understand that I got sheep that I got to protect.
Right.
And so I can't allow my emotions to pastor. I have to pastor because of what God says, not because of what I feel.
Right. Amen.
Go ahead, Apostle.
Amen.
Amen. One thing that my wife and I are training our people to do is for them to be wolf chasers.
Right.
See, when you train your people to, when you train the people of God to recognize and identify the wolves that try to come amongst them and stir up stuff, and if they come with some nonsense about their pastor or whatever, they should be able to shut it down right then. Wait a minute, hold on. You're not going to be able to talk about my pastor like that, because this is the man, the set man of the house, and this is who I follow. So you need to go somewhere else with that, because we don't do that here.
Right.
When you can get your people, when we can get our people on that level, they'll chase wolves.
Mm.
And you and I, and Apostle Calhoun, can remain what we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing, studying and hearing from the Lord.
That's right.
That's the focus of my ministry, to train our people not only to know the word, but also to hear the voice of the enemy and rebuke him.
That's right. That's right. And Apostle, I really feel that a lot of leaders have missed the mark, because we're so busy teaching the people about God and the blessing and the this and the that we miss the wolf coming in the door.
Sure.
You know, we miss, because we do need to learn the characteristics of the enemy. We do need to know when the enemy is in the camp and when he is whispering and trying to cause confusion. And this is something that really a lot of the leadership have missed. You know, I have to admit my own self. I miss, you know, teaching the people this stuff, because we as leaders have to realize that everybody that's patting you on the back is not your friend.
That's right.
You know,
right.
Or is not in your corner. Or everybody that's saying, you know, he's wonderful or he's great or whatever is not really on your team, you know. And so we have to get to that place that we understand that it is our job not only talk about the blessing, but we need to also talk about the characteristics of the enemy who's trying to tear up the house as well.
One thing that every good conqueror understood was his enemy.
Right.
He defeated his enemy. You look at Attila the Hun, you look at all the good conquerors. I can't think of everybody off the hand. But they studied their enemy. They knew their enemy. They knew what moves he would make and what moves he would take. And so
right.
We also have to know the enemy, because if not, we'll never know how to fight spiritually.
That's right.
You said it just a minute ago. We talk about the blessings and being blessed, and that's what we focus on and getting to heaven, but we never teach our people how to live here or function on earth and war in the spirit.
Right.
And that's what we have to do as apostles. We have to teach them how to war in the spirit, so that we're not, we don't have 20 years down the line, 50, 60, 70-year-old folk with spiritual diapers on and still coming to us, apostle, my, you know, this and this, I'm hurt, and I don't know how to deal with something. I taught you that 20 years ago.
Right.
You mean to tell me that you don't know how to war against the enemy? I got to come to your house and bless you and anoint the windows and everything else. When you can do it, you got the same power.
That's right.
So don't get me on the tangent.
I love it. We have about 11 minutes left tonight. I'm most excited because my whole, I got a text saying that, you know, this was great because it encouraged leaders tonight, and that was my whole objective for this show tonight, was to encourage leadership, to encourage leaders in this hour to, you know, really continue to press forward and to, you submit to God, you submit to him, hear him, hear the direction that he wants his church to go in this time. And the more you submit to God, the more people will, or the people that are following will submit to you. Apostle Pleasant, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us once again. And my friend, my brother, my pal, Apostle, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and being here as well.
Apostle, I don't mean to interrupt, but I have this one thing that I need, and I want to share this. And
go ahead.
And I believe that this will kind of help some people that are listening tonight. In Hebrews chapter 13, mm-hmm. verse 5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6 says, "So we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Then verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follows," considering, watch this, "whose faith follows." That's very important. "Remember those who have ruled over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follows." So in other words, not only are they speaking it, but you're seeing them walk it out, what they're speaking. So considering the outcome of their conduct, of the leader's conduct, obey them as you see them obey, as you see them conduct. Then skip down to verse 17, and it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to read. Go ahead, Apostle.
My God.
Can I say one thing?
Come on.
I appreciate you, brothers, and I thank you for allowing me to, inviting me to come on and share, and I just love it. And anytime you need me, just pull on a coattail. I promise you, I'm going to get to Pensacola, and I'm going to check. We're going to meet. We're going to meet face to face, brothers. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We will love it. We will love it. There is much work to be done, and if no other preacher in Pensacola join us, Apostle Calhoun and I, then our wives, we are going to get to it. We're going to get to it.
That's
because
right.
There is so much work to be done, and it's time for leaders all over Pensacola, Florida, to join together and to get rid of the big I and the little you and the I don't like the way you do this and I don't like the way you do that, because we are losing people every day while fighting against one another. So,
right.
Man of God, the very same thing, I know I speak for myself and Apostle Calhoun when I say, if you need us, we are a phone call away. And,
man of God, yes.
I love to travel. So just let us know, and we'll get on a plane, a bus, a train, however. We got to get there. We'll be there. But tonight, we want to thank everyone for joining us. Apostle Calhoun, come on, give them that website, that web address, and we need to talk about the prayer conference that's happening, I believe, this weekend.
Not this weekend, next weekend.
Next weekend, come on.
March the 6th and the 7th. It's going to be at Courtyard Marriott here in Pensacola, Florida, 451 Creighton Road. We're looking for a great time. It's a prayer awakening. It's for the city. We want to bring unity. The prayer is to bring unity to the pastors and leaders who are here in Pensacola and revive them and wake them from their sleeper cells and awaken them and let them know that there are people and men and women of God who are here, and we're going to lay hands on these leaders and awaken them and strengthen them and give them strength. And so that's one of the main purposes of this awakening. But if you want more information, you can find us on Facebook, Spirit of Excellence Worship Center. You can find on my own personal page, Apostle Michael Calhoun at Facebook. My wife, Prophetess Nakia Calhoun, which it'll be notated as Nakia Calhoun on Facebook. If you want more information, personal information, you can email us at sowcintl@gmail.com. That's sowcintl@gmail.com.
Amen. And Apostle Pleasant, where can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Brian Pleasant. You can find us at onekingdomministries.org. And if you're listening in the vicinity of Pennsylvania, you can join us on 927 Lee Avenue, Phil, PA. God bless you.
Amen. And everybody knows that I am a Apostle Desmond Berrien House, and we are the proud pastors of Alabaster Box Christian Ministries, and it's 1072 Sawyer Street, that's Pensacola 32534. And definitely we want you to make sure that you all meet us at the prayer awakening. There will not be service at Alabaster Box on that Friday night, because we will be with Apostle Calhoun and his wife at the prayer awakening. So please meet us there. If you miss the information, write up so that we can get it to you and get you to the proper place. Before we leave the air tonight, let us pray. God, we bless your name for this time. We thank you, Lord, for life, health, strength. God, we thank you for the youth and activity of our limbs and for the opportunity, the platform, to come and to give information that can help someone to decide whether they will serve God or whether they will serve man. God, we ask you to wrap this show in your glory tonight. God, that when people should go back and listen to it, that they will hear not our voices, but the voice of the Lord. God, if anyone is in a place where they are wrapped up, where there is control going on, God, we ask you to release them tonight in the name of Jesus. God, we bless your name, God, that you are a God that will release us from witchcraft and from control. And God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to break it up tonight, God, to break up that mind, that thought, God, that place that the leaders have placed people in, God, to control them. We ask you to reveal, God, and we'll give you all of the glory and all of the praise tonight. God, bless these mighty men of God that have come on this show tonight to share with your people. Bless them, God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. And God, we'll be so very careful to give you all of the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To everyone that joined us tonight, thank you so much for being here. And we ask you to join us next week as we will be right back in the same place at the same time discussing another topic. And so blessings on you, and we look forward to you being with us next week.
Amen.
Ooh, my, my, my.
Do you remember when we used to play? When we were down and low, lift our voices and sing. Whether the musicians were there, we prayed the Lord with that booming thing. We would find ways to pray, like stomping our feet, lifting our voices, clapping our hands. And they used to say, music in the old school days when they were singing way. Cluck, 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 clapping their hands, and they always used to say, we don't need no music. Oh, we don't need no music.
Still cool
with music.